Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. And there is much to learn about being who God made you to be, being an overcomer, particularly if you didn't grow up in a household of faith. A lot of people did not. And because of that, if you've spent, you know, several decades of your life, poverty mentality, defeat mentality, negative talk, you don't even notice it. And most of the world around you, that's how they think and talk. And so you won't stand out until you start talking faith and calling those things that be not as though they were, and proclaiming and declaring things that don't look that way and don't feel that way. And so that requires mind renewal. It requires some change. And like I said, if you've been going the other direction for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, well, you're kind of in a rut in that and don't even realize it. So you want to be open to the Word of God and let the Lord change you. And when you see, He'll help you if you listen. He'll say, no, quit saying that. Say this. No, quit looking that direction. Look this way. Right?
Yeah.
So, Father, we do. We submit ourselves before You. We yield ourselves before You. We say, pray this after me, class. Say, enlighten my eyes.
Enlighten my eyes.
To see the way I should see.
Open my ears.
To hear the way I should hear. And my mind.
And my heart.
To focus.
The direction I should.
And think the way I should. And understand. And believe. And speak.
And act.
The way I should.
I submit myself
to the rightness of Your Word and Your Spirit, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the Word will change your thinking if you'll let it. And no matter how long you have been walking with the Lord and been in the Word, you have not arrived. There's all kind of things in the Word you've not yet seen. And the thing is, you actually have to grow and develop to even hear some things and see some things. It's there, but you won't even notice it. It's there, but when you hear it, it just go right by you until you grow and develop some. And then you'll hearing the same scriptures, the same messages, you'll hear things you never heard before. And it was you that changed.
Yeah.
You're the one that grew and developed some to where you could hear on a different level. So say it out loud.
I am hearing.
On a different level.
I'm coming up.
Amen. We've been giving one by one the 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Said out loud, abundant provision,
is always
God's will,
for us all.
Again, abundant provision, is
always
God's will, for me. So when does He want me struggling financially? When does He want me behind and in lack and losing things and getting kicked out of your apartment or your house or losing your car, can't pay your bills? Is it possible He wants to use those conditions to develop you and teach you?
No.
Now you say no, but people are confused about this. What we have seen, and this is one of the biggest things to get out of the current messages that we're on right now, If it's in the curse, it can never be God's will for you.
Amen.
Just that right there. If it's in the curse, if it's part of the curse, tell me about the curse, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. So there's no way that it's God's will for me to live in the curse that Christ redeemed me from. Right? That cannot be. Cannot be. So the reason it's good to take time to study it and to find out what it is so you are not ignorant of Satan's devices and you don't let him come and try to work something in your life, put something on you that you've been redeemed from. Amen. You need to know how to stand up and resist it. Yes. And say, no, yes. Not in my house, you don't. Not in my family, yes. Not in my finances, yes. Not in my body. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Oh, this will change your life. This will change your life if you get established in this. And so we saw that in Galatians 3:13. So go back to Deuteronomy 28 again, please. Deuteronomy 28. And let's begin to see more about what we've been redeemed from. Deuteronomy 28, he began by saying, if you would listen to God, all these blessings would come on you and overtake you. Now, what is blessing? Blessing is power for you. The curse is evil against you. The blessing is good for you, with you. Favor, help, provision, protection. Anything good, yes. Everything good is in the blessing, and that's for you,
yes.
And that's helping you.
Yes,
the curse is the opposite of that. It's everything bad against you. And so the curse is for the disobedient. It's for the rebellious. It's not for the obedient. It's not for the faithful. And the blessing is not for the rebellious. It's for those that will listen, those that will believe, those that will obey. We got into this some on yesterday's class about what the Lord said, from verse 15 on through the end of chapter 28. You'll see phrases like, the Lord will send on you cursing. The Lord will smite you with this and smite you with that. And so people, sometimes without understanding, they said, well, look, God's doing it. So how are you going to resist God? Back up to the beginning. Yes. Even if you believed that God is personally doing bad things, all you got to do is listen and obey, and it doesn't apply to you.
Right.
Come on, can you see this? But the truth is, God is not the God of destruction. And he, you remember the scripture said in Peter, he's not willing that any should perish. Is that true or not?
Yes.
God is not willing that any should perish. Now, perish has to do with destruction, being destroyed in some way. And if you read that 28th chapter there from verse 15 on out, I mean, it's devastation. It is destruction. It's desolation. Every kind of disease, every the enemy comes and takes everything you got and your crops fail, your herds die. I mean, every evil thing against you, destroying against you. Does any of that please God?
No.
Ever?
No.
Does he derive any pleasure from any of that?
No.
We need to know. We need to be sure about these things. In Ezekiel 18, you don't have to turn there, but listen to this. Ezekiel 18 and 23. The Lord said, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? He's asking and answering the question himself. And not that he should return from his ways and live. What's God's will? That no matter how bad you've been and how evil and far you've gone, what's his will? He's not willing, that's what Peter said, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? I mean, he wants to see, this is his will for the entire population of the planet. Everybody. If God had his way, everybody would come and get saved. Everybody would repent. Somebody said, well, isn't God omniscient and isn't he all powerful? I mean, certainly he's going to have his way. No, not with everybody. The only way that could be is if he controlled everybody. And then it's not a free will. See, if you don't really have a free will, you can't really have real love, a real faith, a real obedience, because you didn't have a choice. The only way you can have the real thing is to be able to say no and choose not to do it. But God's not willing. Say it out loud. He is not willing.
He is not willing.
That any person,
any person
would be destroyed.
Are
there people being destroyed?
Yes.
Many. And will there be? Sadly, yes. So what do we know? Every one of those that are being destroyed, not his will. Not his will. I heard some people talking one time on the TV, a pastor being interviewed, and this one interviewer was obviously an interviewer, was not a believer, and they were kind of attacking this pastor, and they were saying, I thought you preached that God is a God of love, and how can a God of love send people to a place of hell and torment? How can that be if he's a God of love? And as I'm hearing it, I said, Lord, what is the best way to answer that question? I mean, I know a little bit about it, but what's the best way? And I mean, before I could get through saying those things, the Lord spoke from the inside of me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but he said, Keith, it's not my choice. Is that true? I mean, this is big, right? He said, Keith, it's not my choice. What? Whether they went to heaven or hell. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. They want to believe that God is controlling everything and that nobody can resist his will. And so whatever is meant to happen is going to happen. And ultimately, everything was his will. I don't believe that. I've spent some time in the Bible. And I'm telling you, that's not what it says. That's that men have developed these doctrines. And one of the reasons why is because it results in this no-fault religion. No responsibility, right?
Yeah.
Whatever happens, happens. Not my fault,
right?
I couldn't change it if I want to. If it happened, it was God. If it didn't happen, it was God. No, not what the Bible teaches at all. And destruction is not his will. And even when he has to pass judgment that allows the destroyer access. And I think I can say with confidence that the Lord is not looking forward to final judgment. That separates the sheep from the goats and sends, you know, one direction and the other direction. I don't think he's looking forward to that. And even of our own selves, we're going to see all of this. And even if you're saved, you're going to see people in groups that are not. And you're going to see the judgment and the final judgment. And I think that's one of the reasons why the scripture said he's going to wipe away the tears from our eyes, because we're going to need it. But thank God, he has that ability. He can fix you where you're done with sorrow. You're done with pain. It wasn't, just like he said, it wasn't his choice. Well, it wasn't your choice. Wasn't your choice. But when it comes to me, It is my choice. I am my choice. So listen to what he said. He said, do I have any pleasure that the wicked should die? In verse 30, he says, I will judge you, house of Israel, according to your ways. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity will not be your ruin. Does this sound like a loving father pleading with you? Saying, don't do this. Don't go this way. He said, this is going to ruin you. This is going to destroy you. Verse 31, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed. Make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? What does that mean? You don't have to. You don't have to. Why will you die? Verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, says the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Hallelujah. And if you look at, we're looking in Deuteronomy 28, and if you look in the following chapters, 29, 30, 31, 32, you'll find he says more than one time, he said, I set before you life, death, blessing and good, cursing and evil. Pick the right one, right? Choose life that you may live. So is it his choice? No. No. If it's his choice, it wouldn't be wrong to say all of that. Choose. If it's not your choice, if he's choosing for you, it would be wrong to say it like that. No, he's saying the understood subject is you. You choose. Everybody say, you choose. You choose. And he even tells you which one to pick. And even pleads with you. Quit doing that. It'll destroy you. Come over here with me. Do this with me. And even when people refuse to listen and will not, no matter how many times, be corrected and repent. And he has to make judgment that allows the destroyer access. It actually grieves him as a good father. Listen to Lamentations 3 and 32. Lamentations 3:32, it says, though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Not willingly? This is the Almighty. What is this talking about? Well, everything has to stop somewhere. Right? Yes. There's got to be a judge that decides all of this ultimately. He commanded us, don't judge. Yes. Why? We're not qualified. We don't know enough. We don't know people's hearts. We don't know everything that came before or what's coming. We're supposed to be hands off and go, man, that's up to the Lord. Right? This is above my pay grade. Right? This is right?
Right.
But somebody's got to be the righteous judge. I mean, as hard as it sounds, people say, well, it's just so harsh for these folks to be separated from God. And you want them living by you in glory that rebel against God, that'll never repent, that'll blaspheme? Then heaven is messed up. Can you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the thing is, there comes a point where people are not going to change when they are never going to change. Now, the devil's already at that point. And those that are with him, the evil spirits that are with him, they're all the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. You couldn't get them to repent no matter how many millions of opportunities that you gave them. One of the ways that you see this so clearly, if you look in the book of Revelation, there's coming a time when a big angel is going to come down and grab the devil and chain him up and throw him in the pit, in the abyss. And he's going to get to be in there for 1,000 years. Have you read about that?
Yes.
And, you know, for one thing, the devil ain't all he cracked himself up to be. One angel comes down and does that to him. And he couldn't stop it. He couldn't prevent it. One. And God, is the Lord of hosts of angels. And so when he gets let out, the Bible said immediately he goes to deceive the nations to get them to rebel against God and fight against what? After all of this, and then after being incarcerated for 1,000 years and getting to think about what he's done, what am I saying? He will never change. He will never change. So if you don't want God and you don't want to be with him, there's only one other place to go. And it's hell, that actually was not created for human beings. It was created for the devil and his angels and those that are with him. But as a human being, if you don't want God and you reject him and you refuse to ever repent, there's only one other place. You get to be with the ones you chose. As sad as that is. Not me. I said, not me. How about you? Not me. Me and God. Is that right? I'm with him.
Yes.
He's with me
forever.
And part of that includes I will repent.
Yes.
The way I got into this thing, the way you got into this thing was repenting. Come on, can you see this? Acknowledging I had sinned and blew it and I needed a Savior. And I came to him and received him and confessed him as Lord. Well, that kind of heart doesn't need to change as you go through life, as the years go by. If you see you missed it, what should you do? Immediately say, repent. I will. Somebody said out loud, I will repent.
I will repent.
I'm willing to repent.
I'm willing to repent.
Amen. Well, see, then God can work with you. He can work. You are not a lost cause. But if a person won't repent, there'll be a point where there's no future for them. It wouldn't matter how many opportunities you gave them. They're going to keep rebelling, keep defying. I don't know if you've read in the book of Revelation again, but it talks about when some of the judgments and the signs and wonders would begin to come on people. And it said, even after all that, they would not repent. But they'd rail against God, harden their heart, stiffen their neck. I don't know where that point is, but God does know where that point is, where people are never going to repent. And so he has to be the judge. And he has to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. But that wasn't his choice. That wasn't our choice. It was their choice. But even when God passes that judgment, he does not willingly do it. It grieves him to see it. But it is right. And it is necessary. Has to be. Look with me, if you would, in Ephesians, in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2. And to just go a little further in what we talked about yesterday's class. The Lord said, you know, you're going to Ephesians 2, but I'm going to review just a little bit. We read in Deuteronomy 31 where he said, they're going to break my covenant and I'll forsake them and hide my face from them and they will be devoured. In Deuteronomy 32, he said, I'll watch and see what happens to them. They're stubborn, unfaithful people. I will no longer help them, and we'll see what happens to them. It wasn't that God was attacking them and destroying them. He just said, okay, you don't want me? I'm not involved. And if God's not helping you, you will be destroyed. The curse is in the earth. You know, I said go to Ephesians 2, but go to Isaiah, the 5th chapter, rather, before we do that. Isaiah chapter 5, because you really hear the heart of the Father, the heart of God. Like we said, like we read in Ezekiel, he said, why will you die? Repent. He said, this will be the ruin of you. Don't do that. He said, do I have any pleasure at all that people are destroyed and die? No. Repent and live. That's our God. Well, in Isaiah 5, he gives a pictorial description of how this is. He said, Isaiah 5:1, he said, I will sing to my beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it. He gathered out the stones. He planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst. He made a wine press therein. He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Mm-hmm. Sour grapes. Yeah. Bad grapes. Oh, now, inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked at it, it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. He said, what else could I have done for it? I prepped it. I prepared it. I protected it. I built it. I blessed it. I chose the best vine. And this is what I get. Stinky. Sour. See, he's talking about people. He said, I'm going to tell you what I have to do. I'm going to take away the hedge, and it shall be eaten up. It's not him eating it up. There's plenty of stuff wanting to eat it up if there was no hedge around him. He said, I'm going to have to take the hedge away. I'm going to break the wall down, and then it'll be trodden down. I'll lay it waste. It'll not be pruned nor digged. There'll come up briars and thorns. Why? Because he's not weeding it. He's not keeping it. I will command the clouds that they rain no rain. Do you see what the problem is? Yeah. Without him preparing, protecting, providing, all of the enemy is just waiting. Is that right? Yeah. To get in there and consume and devour and tread it down and destroy it. God's not the problem. It's the lack of God. That's the problem. Not having God involved. Aren't you glad we do have God? We do have Him, and we're not going to be the rebellious. We're the ones that listen, and because of that, we keep a hedge. Hallelujah. Round about us, and the rain rains on us, and the blessing keeps us, and the protection keeps us. We're blessed,
hallelujah,
not cursed.
Amen.
And our time's up. I'll see you tomorrow. Much more to shout about this here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.